Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. We will study today chapter 10 from the book of Acts. And this chapter is a very important chapter. Why? Because the establishment of the church of the Gentiles is in this chapter. What do I mean by this? As you know, before Christ, the world was divided into Jews and Gentiles. I'm speaking from a religious point of view. The Jews or Israel was considered the people of God, and the Gentiles were considered the unclean people, and they are not part of the family of God. And when Christianity started among the Jews. So the first Christian are Jewish people. That's why among the first Christian, some people believed that also the Christian are the Jewish people only, not the Gentiles. And as we'll explain in this chapter, God, in a miraculous way, sent a very strong message that God is for everybody. Salvation is for everybody. There is no difference between Jews and Gentiles. God accepts the Gentiles to be members in his family, similar like the Jews. And this chapter explains to us how God did that. And as I will explain, usually we are baptized first, and after baptism, we get chrismated and we receive the Holy Spirit. The only exception in which this was reversed, the people accepted the Holy Spirit first, and after this, they were baptized, is in this chapter. We will see how the Gentiles received the Holy Spirit first, and after that, they were baptized, the opposite. And we will explain why God allowed this. So let's start reading this chapter and interpret verse by verse. Verse 1. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment. Caesarea was considered the port of Palestine, the main port of Palestine. And actually, it was the headquarter of the Roman military, And Cornelius was living there because he was a centurion. Centurion, like a captain, head of 100 soldiers or officers. Cornelius is a Gentile, not a Jewish. And he was a Roman officer. And actually, in the Bible, we read about four centurions that were mentioned favorably in the New Testament. Cornelius is one of them. The other one, the centurion who pierced the Lord at the cross, but after this he believed in Christ and he said, "This is truly was the Son of God." Do you know his name? His name was Longinus. His name was Longinus. Very good. And the third centurion, we read about him in Luke chapter 7, verse 2. And the people commended this centurion to the Lord Jesus Christ and told him he built the synagogue at Capernaum for us. And the fourth one is Julius. We read about him in Book of Acts, chapter 27, from verse 1 to verse 3. This one actually was the centurion who led or accompanied St. Paul in his travel to Rome, and he was very, very kind with St. Paul. So these are the four centurions that were mentioned in the New Testament, mentioned favorably. Cornelius and Longinus, and the one who built the synagogue in Luke chapter 7, verse 2, and the one who accompanied St. Paul to Rome in Acts chapter 27, from verse 1 to verse 3. And this centurion was in a band called the Italian Band, or the Italian Regiment. This band is composed of 600 men. And although in the Romans military, many people from other races and other nations, they were hired in the Romans military, but this band actually is composed only from Italians. That's why it's called the Italians, because they did not entrust anybody from other nation to protect this area. So this band is the only band that composed only from Italians. Nobody from other nation was allowed to join this band, and it was composed of 600 men. So this shows us that Cornelius was actually high ranked in the Romans military. Verse 2. A devout man and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. I want to tell you that some Gentiles heard about the God of Israel and they believed in him, and they worshipped him without converting to Judaism. So they loved God of Israel, they believed in him, they worshipped him without converting to Judaism. Cornelius was one of these people. And actually, we can read about different people from the Gentiles who feared the God of Israel and worshipped him without converting to Judaism. Like in Acts chapter 13, verse 50, in Acts 17, verse 4, in Acts 17, verse 17, in these three references, we hear about some Gentiles who feared God of Israel, worshipped him without converting to Judaism. This man, as the Bible described, he feared God of Israel. He was a devout man, dedicated, committed to the worship, walking in the fear of God. And the two main highlights here about him, he was praying always, praying without ceasing, and also he was giving generously. He was giving generously. And I can assume that one of his prayer, one of the prayers that he asked God for, show me your way. Show me what I should do. What do you want me to do? Like when St. Paul saw the Lord on the road to Damascus, he told him, what do you want me to do? Tell me what you want. And this is actually a very good prayer. When we ask God, what do you need from me? Tell me which way I should go. What do you want me to do? Verse 3. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. The ninth hour is 3 p.m. And apparently this man followed the hours of the Jewish worship. And actually now in Christianity, we follow the same hours. We pray in the first hour, third hour, ninth hour, sixth hour, the 11th hour, 12th hour. And when you read the book of Acts, you will find, you know, people were praying at these hours. In the same chapter, we will see how Peter was praying in the sixth hour. Sixth hour is 12 noon. So this vision happened 3 p.m. Most probably he was awake. It's not time of sleep. So he saw in a vision. That's why it's written here so clearly. So he was not hallucinating. It's not a dream. It is a real vision. He saw clearly angel of God coming to him and calling him by his name, Cornelius. So it was a very, very clear vision. Verse 4. And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? Of course, seeing an angel in a vision, something makes the person afraid, scared. That's why actually most of the visions start, do not be afraid. God, or peace be to you. These words are very, very important in order to cast away the fear from the heart of the person. What is it, Lord? If you notice, Lord is a small L, because the word the Lord here, he is addressing the angel, not God. So he's saying to the angel, like Master, what is it, Lord? So he said to him, the angel said to Cornelius, your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. And as you know, the angel are in charge of carrying our prayers and our offering before God as a sweet aroma. That's why in the litany of the oblation we say, receive them upon your holy altar as a sweet aroma. Also in the book of Revelation chapter 8, we see the angel who is raising incense before the throne of God, and the incense was the prayer of the saints. So the angel told him that your prayer are heard and God accepted your giving, although he was Gentile, although he did not convert to Judaism. And here, anybody ask God, God will accept him. But after accepting him, he will direct him to the right way. For example, if a person who is not Christian and he is searching for God truthfully, so God will accept his prayer. Then he will direct him to the right way while he is on earth. He will direct him how to worship God in the right way. And this is the reason why God sent this angel to Cornelius, in order to teach him the right way of worshiping God. And maybe this was answer to his prayer. As I told you, I'm assuming he was praying like St. Paul, show me the way. Tell me what you want me to do. So God actually answered the prayer and sent the angel in order to tell Cornelius what he should do. Also, St. Paul spoke about the angels and said the angels are serving us who will inherit the kingdom of God. And we can see how God is using the angels to serve us. They are carrying our prayers, they are carrying our donation, and actually they carry messages to us from God. Verse 5. Now send the men to Joppa, and sent for Simon, whose surname is Peter. In chapter 8, Acts chapter 9, we heard that Peter was staying in Joppa. Here we may wonder, why the angel did not say to Cornelius, go to Peter? Why he asked him to send the men to Peter and to call Peter to come? Do you know why? Maybe you expect to tell him, go. With St. Paul, actually, the Lord told him, go to Hananiah, and Hananiah will tell you. Why was Cornelius, God did not tell him, or the angel did not tell him, go to Peter? Why he asked him to bring Peter? Actually, the answer to this is very easy, because Cornelius was a soldier, a centurion, and he cannot leave his place as a centurion without orders from the higher commanders. That's why, and see here how God serves everybody according to his needs. So this person cannot leave his place because he was a centurion. He cannot leave his place. That's why he told him, go and send to Peter, and Peter will come to you. Yes. That's another point. Cornelius, as we'll see, will bring his relatives and all the people from the Gentiles who are hearing God like him, so the message will reach to many people. But the main reason, because he was a soldier and he cannot leave his place. And the distance from Joppa to Caesarea, about 30 miles. 30 miles right now, we drive them in about 30 minutes, right? But back then, it took one day of travel. Verse 6. He, Peter, is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do. So you were praying about what you need to do. Peter will tell you what you must do. It is just happened that Simon Peter was staying in the house of another man, his name also Simon, and he was working as a tanner. And the tanners were required by the ancient sanitary laws to live outside the city walls for health care. So they cannot live within the city walls, they must live outside the city walls, and actually they had to live next to plenty of water because of their job. That's why he told him, Simon the tanner, whose house is by the sea. Verse 7. And when the angel who spoke to him had departed, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier from among those who waited on him continually. So he called two of his household servants. These are his personal servants. But there was one military, the third man, the Bible described him as a devout soldier. So this person was from the military, and this military was also serving Cornelius the centurion. So he sent three persons, two his personal servants and one military. Cornelius called two of his household servant and a devout, and this soldier, it's clear that the soldier also was a fearer of God, a person who believed in God of Israel, although he did not convert to Judaism. Among those, this soldier, he called him from among those military who waited on him continually, who were serving Cornelius continually as a centurion. Verse 8, so when he had explained all these things to them, he sent them to Joppa. He explained to them the vision, and he told them, you need to go to this place to bring Peter. And here I want you to notice how he was prompt in his response. The angel appeared immediately after the angel departed. He sent these people. He did not wait for 1 week or 10 days. He actually responded immediately. Verse 9, the next day, as they went on their journey, as I told you, it took about almost 24 hours to travel these 30 miles. As they went on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. It was a tradition that people go on the housetop, so when they pray, they can see the sky, you know, and then actually there is no limitation to their meditation or reflection. So it was a tradition, people when they pray, to go on the housetop. So Peter at the sixth hour, which is 12 noon, he went up to pray. And as I told you, it's clear how they watched the hours of prayer. First hour, third hour, sixth hour, ninth hour. But God wanted to prepare Peter. Why he wanted to prepare him? Because according to the law of Moses, Peter cannot visit or eat with this man. So if these people ask Peter to go and visit them and eat with them, Peter would do what? Would actually refuse to go with them. But God wanted to prepare Peter in order to accept to go. How he prepared him? Verse 10, then he became very hungry, Peter became hungry, and wanted to eat. But while they made ready, they were preparing the food for him, he fell into a trance. Trance, like, it's some sort of vision. It's a mental condition in order, as if going outside the body, in order to see heavenly and divine revelations. Do you remember when St. Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2, said, in the body or outside the body, I do not know? This was a trance. So Peter here also went into this trance in order to see a divine vision. What did he see? Verse 11, and so heaven opened, and an object like a great sheet, bound at the four corners, descending to him and let down to earth. So this sheet is coming from heaven. He saw the heaven open, which means it was a clear vision. This is from God. And What did he see? He saw a big sheet, and this sheet is descending to him from heaven. What was inside the sheet? Verse 12, in it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. So all type of animals were in this, and birds in this sheet. And then what God wanted him to do with these animals? Verse 13, and a voice came to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. Kill and eat here, this is against the teaching of the law of Moses. Because in the law of Moses, the animals and the birds were divided into clean and unclean. And they were prohibited to eat unclean animals. They were only allowed to eat clean animals. This separation between the clean and unclean reminds us of the separation between what? Jews are clean and the Gentiles are unclean. So God wants to prepare him. Now in Christianity, everybody is clean. Now in Christianity, whoever believes in God is accepted. There is nobody called unclean or clean. But Peter said, no, not so, Lord. Maybe Peter thought that God is testing him to examine his obedience. Because sometimes God put us in test of faith. So maybe Peter thought that God is testing him. Is he about to break the law or not? And Peter told God, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean. Common versus holy. They say this is holy, but this is common. Common doesn't mean unclean, but just it's common. Let me give you. The altar is holy, but any table, we can call it common. I cannot call it unclean. But the unclean is versus clean. You understand? So common doesn't mean necessarily unclean. Common is just regular thing, but not holy, not dedicated to God, not consecrated for God. But the word unclean, it is versus clean. So common versus holy and unclean versus unclean. And a voice spoke to him again, the second time, what God has cleansed, you must not call common. This verse actually, God wants to apply to the Gentiles. If God called the Gentiles, and he said the Gentiles are clean, don't call them common. Don't call them unclean. This was done three times. Three times for emphasis. God again sending this message and stressing this message, emphasizing this message. What God has cleansed, you must not call common. And the object, this big sheet, was taken up into heaven again. So, as if Peter said to the Lord, it is forbidden by the law of Moses to eat these things, but God told him, no. What God, yes, in the Old Testament, there was a certain reason, a certain purpose why God made this distinction or differentiation in order to prepare a holy nation from which comes the Messiah. But now, in the New Testament, the covenant is for everybody, not only for Israel. Everybody is part of this covenant. So God wants to prepare Peter in order to go to Cornelius and accept him into the family of God. In Acts chapter 10, verse 13 and 15, you will see that God repeated this three times, as I told you, for emphasis. Verse 17. Now, while Peter wondered within himself what this vision which he had seen meant, he was thinking, is it about food? Does God want me just to eat anything? What this vision was about? He did not yet understand the vision as about accepting the Gentiles. But he was thinking and praying what this vision means. While he was thinking within himself, behold, the men who had been sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. So they arrived around the 12th hour, which is, at 6th hour, which is 12 noon, while Peter was thinking in himself. He was not doubting the word of God or the vision, but he was thinking over the matter, what does this mean? Verse 18. And they called and asked whether Simon, whose surname was Peter, was lodging there or not. So they came, and according to the angel, they asked about Simon Peter. While Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, behold, three men are seeking you. So God, besides the vision, the Holy Spirit spoke directly to Peter. Because maybe Peter did not understand the vision correctly. But God again wanted Peter to go to Cornelius. That's why the Holy Spirit spoke to him and told him, the three men, the two servants and the one military, are seeking you. Arise therefore, go down, go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Don't doubt this vision. Yes, I have sent them. It's okay for you to go to Cornelius, the Gentile, and to stay with him, and to eat with him, and later on, and to baptize him. So God was sending him a very, very strong message. As you will see in another chapter in the book of Acts, the Jews actually disputed with Peter because of this visit. That's why he need to have big support from the Holy Spirit to assure him that what he was doing was right. Because even the Christian from Jewish background disputed with Peter how he went to Cornelius. But here we can see how God was supporting Peter. And he told him, I have sent them. I have sent them. Because yes, God sent the angel to Cornelius and told him, send to Peter. Verse 21. Then Peter went down to the men who had been sent to him from Cornelius and said, yes, I am he whom you seek. For what reason have you come? And here it's a lesson for us about obedience. Although Peter did not understand the message yet, but God told him, do it. This reminds me with Peter. You know, Peter, when he refused that the Lord wash his feet, the Lord told him what? You do not understand what I'm doing, but you will understand later. Just to obey. Many times God wants us just to obey. Even if you don't understand, just to obey my commandment, and you will understand later. The same scenario here, just to obey. Go, don't doubt. You will understand later why I am sending you to Cornelius. Verse 22, they said, Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, one who fears God and has a good reputation among all the nation of the Jews, was divinely instructed by a holy angel to summon you to his house and to hear words from you. So they explained who was Cornelius, And I want you to notice that although he was Gentile, but he was respected and he had a good reputation among all the nations of the Jews. Usually, people who fear God, God gives them grace in the eyes of everybody, even in the eyes of their enemies. Cornelius, he was not a Jewish man, but because he was a fearer of God, that's why God gave him grace and a good reputation in the sight of everybody, including the Jews. As he told him, he was divinely instructed. So we are coming based on God's instruction, which confirmed the voice which Peter heard that I have sent them. And now Cornelius is waiting to hear words of salvation, the word of God from you. Then he invited them in and lodged them. They stayed maybe for one night and lodged the next morning. On the next day, Peter went out away with them, and some brethren from Joppa accompanied him. So they stayed one night with Peter, and on the following day, Peter went, but he took with him six brethren. How did you know that they were six in number? In Acts chapter 11, verse 12, we know that the people who accompanied Peter were six persons. So Peter went with six persons, as we read in Acts 11, verse 12. Verse 24, and the following day, they entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends. It's nice that a person does not care only about his own salvation, but cares also about the salvation of others. So Cornelius here, in order to prepare for the visit of St. Peter, he invited all his relatives, invited his close friends, those who worship God of Israel, but without converting to Judaism. It is good when there is a meeting, or when there is a liturgy, or when there is a spiritual activity, instead of going by ourselves, it is good to call our friends, our relatives, and try to bring all of them with us to the church. So when we go with our friends and with our family, not alone. Because if we really love them, if we really care about them, we need to care also about their salvation. Verse 25, as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. Worshipped him not as worshiping God. Of course, Cornelius, as a fearer of God, does not worship except the true God. But worship means knelt down as a sign of respect, as a sign of honor, because Peter is one of the apostles. He is the steward of God. And if God asked Cornelius to send for Peter, then Peter is a messenger of God. So showing respect to Peter as if showing respect to God himself. As the Lord said, he who honors you, honors me. So showing respect to Peter here, it is showing respect to God himself. So here, Cornelius greeted Peter, fell down at his feet, worshipped him, not like worship God, but as I said, it is a sign of respect. But Peter also, as a humble man, he refused this. So here, I want you to see the dynamics. Cornelius is kneeling down before Peter because he knows Peter is a messenger of God. But Peter himself feel unworthy for this greeting. So he refusing the greeting. Verse 26, but Peter lifted him up, saying, stand up, I myself am also a man. So he told him, no, I'm unworthy of this. I am a man. I am a regular person. Don't do this with me. 27, and as he talked with him, he went in and found many who had come together. So the Cornelius greeted Peter as they were talking together while entering the house. And when Peter entered the house, he found many people waiting for him, not only Cornelius, but his friends and his relatives. 28, then he said to them, you know, Peter is speaking now, you know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company or go to one of another nation. It is not lawful. As I told you, that's why God wanted to prepare Peter with this vision and when the Holy Spirit spoke to him. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. So Peter learned the lesson here. Peter now understood why he saw this vision, and God actually made it clear to him that you should not call any person unclean or common. Verse 29, therefore, I came without objection as soon as I was sent for. When you asked me to come, I did not object. God told me to go and to come to you. I ask then, for what reason have you sent for me? Here I am. So he knew that God sent him there, but he didn't understand that, he didn't believe that God wants them to convert to Christianity. He didn't believe that God wants him to baptize them. So yes, God told me to come to you, but for what reason? So it's clear from this question until now, he did not comprehend that the Gentiles will join the family of God. The Gentiles will be members of the people of God. Until this moment, he did not comprehend this. Verse 30, so Cornelius said, 4 days ago, as you remember, he saw the vision, then he sent the people. The people arrived the following day to Peter. And then the people actually stayed 1 day with Peter, right? Then they started journey, and the journey will take also another 24 hours. So they arrived the following day. That's why he told him 4 days ago. You know how these 4 days? 4 days ago, I was fasting until this hour. So Cornelius was not only praying and giving alms, but also he was fasting. Complete abstinence. Until which hour? The third hour. The ninth hour, which is 3 p.m. And as you know, it is the tradition in our church that in most of the fasting, except the Great Fast and Nineveh Fast, when we abstain until the ninth hour, which is 3 p.m. And apparently, this was an old tradition. I was fasting until this hour. And at the ninth hour, I prayed in my house. Usually, people pray before they eat. So he was fasting, and maybe he was praying before eating. And behold, a man stood before me, that is the angel, in bright clothing. That is the vision that he saw. And he saw the vision while he was praying. And said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms are remembered in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, and call Simon here, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon a tanner by the sea. When he comes, he will speak to you. So he told him, actually, I don't know what you are going to say to me. The angel told me, when you come, you will speak to us. So I sent to you immediately, and you have done well to come. Now, therefore, we are all here, present before God. And I like what he said. We are not present before Peter, but now we are in the presence of God. You are the messenger of God. And when we listen to you, we listen to God. We are present before God. It's good to know or to feel that you are in the presence of God all the time. That's why you will walk. How to walk in the fear of God? In order to walk in the fear of God, you need to feel His presence all the time. That's what happened here. To hear all the things commanded you by God. So now, tell us what God commanded you to tell us. And this considered the first assembly, or the first preaching, or the first sermon given to the Gentiles. It is the first sermon given to the Gentiles. Verse 34, then Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. Now God started to enlighten the mind of Peter to accept that the fact the Gentiles can be in the family of God, the Gentiles can convert to Christianity. So he said, I perceive that God show no partiality. God is not biased to any race or nation. As God loves the Jews, He also God loves the Gentile. Both of them are equal before God. Those who fear the Lord in any nation or in any race will be accepted by Him. Verse 35. But in every nation, whoever fears Him and works righteousness is accepted by Him. So in every nation, any person in the whole world, if he fears God and works righteousness, will be accepted. But God will direct him here on earth to the right way. Because usually you ask this question, what about good people who have or work righteousness, have good works? God will guide them as He guided Cornelius, as He guided the Ethiopian eunuch, as He guided St. Paul. Here on earth, God will guide them to the right way. Verse 36. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, He is Lord of all. Which word? God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to preach peace and reconciliation. Now there is no enmity between us and God. We are His children. We are reconciled with God. We have peace with God. So, you remember the angels chanted what? Peace on earth and goodwill toward men. So this word of peace, this word which God sent to Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ, He is Lord of all. He is not Lord of Gentiles. Not Lord of Jews. He is Lord of all. That word, you know, I'm sure they heard, the Gentiles heard about preaching of Jesus. That word, you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. So this word that was preached by the Lord Jesus Christ after being baptized by John the Baptist, because the Lord started His ministry after being baptized by John. So this word, actually, the word of peace, is for everybody. The message of Christ, everybody. I know St. Peter is telling them, I know you heard about it, but not fully comprehended or not fully understand it. So this word now, actually God sent me to explain it more to you. Verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. When Jesus was anointed, When was he anointed? God has anointed Jesus. When this anointment happened? In baptism, when the Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove. So he was anointed and became the anointed one, the chrismated one, the Christ, the Messiah. So the word the Christ means the chrismated, the anointed, the Messiah. That's the word the Christ means. And when he was anointed in baptism, when the Holy Spirit descended upon him. Anointed him what? High priest, king, and a prophet. He was anointed to be the high priest, the king of kings, and the prophet. So he God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, because he is God. So he is a powerful God who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. Why he mentioned this? So as he was able to cast out demons, He will set us free from the slavery of Satan. You know, before Christ, all of us were slaves of Satan. We're in the kingdom of Satan. But God, who had the power to cast out demons, also on the cross set us free from the bondage of Satan and transferred us from the kingdom of Satan, kingdom of the darkness, to his own kingdom. For God was with him. God the Father was with his Son, Jesus Christ. Verse 39, and we are witnesses of all things which he did. We are eyewitnesses. Peter was one of the 12 who accompanied the Lord from the moment of his baptism. So he is saying, I was an eyewitness. We are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom Jesus they killed by hanging on a tree. So now he is saying that Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is able to set us free from the bondage of Satan. So as if he is summarizing the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, and now we are witnessing of his crucifixion. Not only his crucifixion, but also are witnessing of his resurrection. Verse 40, him God raised up on the third day. So here is a redemption. He died, but rose from the dead in order to raise us also from the sentence of death. And showed him openly. So when Jesus rose from the dead, we saw him openly. It's not a vision, it's not a trance. We saw him, we touched him. He is really alive. We are not dreaming. He stayed with us 40 days after his resurrection before ascending to heaven. But Jesus appeared. I want you to listen carefully to verse 41, because many of us ask this question. Why not everybody saw Jesus after his resurrection? The answer here in verse 41. And showed him openly, not to all the people. Because not everybody was worthy to see the resurrected Christ. Only those who will bear witness for him, only those who will testify for his resurrection are worthy to see the resurrected Christ. That's why he did not appear to everybody. Here it's very clear, not to all the people, but to witnesses, chosen before God. So, which people? Those who are willing to be witnesses for resurrection. God chose them, and Jesus appeared to them. That's why he appeared one time for 500 persons, because all of them were willing to witness for the resurrection of Christ. To witnesses, chosen before God. Even to us, and I was one of them, Peter is saying, I was one of them, who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. Again, it was not a dream. We were not hallucinating. We ate and drank with him. And I'm sure you know, after resurrection, the Lord appeared to them and he ate fish and honey with them on the Sea of Tiberias. So he said, you know, this was a real resurrection. We saw him, we ate with him, we drank with him after he arose from the dead. Verse 42, and he commanded us to preach to the people. The Lord actually, now Peter is start to collect things. God told them, go preach the gospel to all nations. Now we understand, God did not tell them, go preach the gospel to Israel, but to all nations, and baptize them in the name of the Father and Son and Holy Spirit. That's what we call the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God. It is Jesus who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. Who will judge us? It is the Son, Jesus Christ. Why? Why not the Father? Why not the Holy Spirit? Because Jesus is the God who became man. So he understands our weakness. He understands our humanity. Because he became man, that's why he will be our judge. The Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 to 20, and in Mark chapter 16, verse 14 to 18, when God commanded the disciple to preach and to testify that he is the judge of the world. Jesus is the judge of the world. To judge the living and the dead, the living are the righteous, the dead are the sinners. Verse 43, to him all the prophets witness. So it's not only our eyewitness, so he's proving here the divinity of Christ. Number one, the testimony of God himself. God anointed him with the Holy Spirit. He empowered him. He made miracles through him. He appointed him to be the judge. Number two, the testimony of the eyewitnesses. And number three, the testimony of the prophets. So he's trying to prove the divinity of Christ from the witness of God the Father and the Holy Spirit, from the eyewitnesses and the witness of the prophets. To him, all the prophets witness that through his name, through Jesus' name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. So there are three important facts: that we are forgiven if we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, if we are Christian, only through Christ. Only those who believe in Christ will be forgiven. So, and how we will be forgiven? If we believe in him. Remission of sins only through Christ. How can we obtain this remission of sin? If we believe in Christ. And this forgiveness is for everybody, not only for the Jews. It's from everybody, from Jews or Gentiles. So here he is saying three facts. When he said, whoever believes in him, whoever, Jews or Gentiles, belief is only through faith in Christ will receive remission of sins. Now, if they asked Peter to baptize them, maybe Peter will not be sure whether he should baptize them or not. Maybe he will say, if I baptize them, the Jews will dispute with me. So in order to avoid this conflict, I will not baptize them. They can believe in Christ without being baptized or accepted as members. As I told you, there were Gentiles who believed in God of Israel, but did not convert to Judaism. That's why in order to avoid these questions, as I told you in the beginning, God reversed it. He sent the Holy Spirit first before being baptized. That's why in verse 44, while Peter was still speaking these words, I'm sure they believed, Cornelius and all the people, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. The Holy Spirit descended on them, on Cornelius, his relative, his friends, in the same way as on the day of Pentecost. Verse 44, 45, and those of the circumcision, Jews, the Jewish people, who believed, as I told you, Peter went with how many? With six persons. So those, the Jewish people who believed in Christ, were astonished, as many as came with Peter. Why they were astonished? In their mind, God is for us only, not for the Gentiles. That's why they were astonished, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. Now, a new understanding. The covenant of the New Testament is not only for Israel, it's for everybody, for the Gentiles, equally to the Jews. That's why I told you this is a very important chapter about the establishment of the Church of the Gentiles. And God, in order to prove this Holy Spirit, He gave them gifts of the Holy Spirit, like speaking in tongues. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. So, here speaking with tongue was a sign that they received also the gifts of the Holy Spirit, like speaking in tongue. And again, this is the only exception in which people receive the Holy Spirit before baptism. So if we ask you a question, when people were accepted the Holy Spirit before baptism, it is in the story of Cornelius. That is the only exception. Verse 48, 46, 47. Then Peter answered, "Can anyone forbid water? Can anyone contradict me? Can anyone make a conflict with me, dispute with me if I baptize them?" God gave them the Holy Spirit equally, that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit as we have. And this also shows us the importance of baptism. Peter did not say, they received the Holy Spirit, now there is no need for baptism. No, he baptized them. But he asked them, can anybody say no? Who can say to God no? Nobody. God gave them the Holy Spirit. And I'm servant of God, then I will baptize them. Verse 48, and he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they asked him to stay a few days. He baptized them and he stayed with them a few days, of course, to preach them more about Christ and to understand many things more about Christianity. As I told you, this chapter is a very, very important chapter because show how God loves everybody, how He accepted everybody, how He opened the door to the Gentiles like us to be members in the family of God. That's why, yes, we praise Him and we give thanks to Him that He accepted us to be members in His family. Glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.